Christmas playlist. We're excited about what we're doing here, especially looking forward to wrapping it all up with our Christmas Eve service. Hope you can come and join us for that. So I got to apologize because some of you had turned in a song for our Oakwood Top 10, and you know, we considered it just a joke. It was Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer, right? So we didn't put that in our Top 10. It didn't receive a lot of votes. But then, you know, the people who did vote for that did send me a video that they wanted you to see to bolster their claim that this isn't just a frivolous song, it's actual history.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
So, it actually happened, okay? I mean, it actually literally happened. So maybe we should edit a top 10 list and add that in. What say you? No, okay. All right, we're still not putting it in, but I did play the video for you. So just for fun, we're in that Christmas playlist, so it's all about music. And let's recap where we've been. The first week in our series, the Christmas playlist, was the Magnificat, which is Mary's song. It declares what God is like. And we talked about the two words, God is mindful and God is mighty. God is mindful of us while being mightier than us. And then last week was the Benedictus, Zechariah's song, and it explains why you need God. And we learned two words there, come and redeem. Two words at the heart of the Christmas message. God sent his son, Jesus. He came to us to redeem us. There was a purpose. There's a purpose for the baby in the manger. He came to redeem us. And so that leads us to this week, Gloria. Everybody say Gloria.
Gloria.
Well, you can't say Gloria like Gloria. You can't do that. The word itself is bigger than that, right? You can't say Gloria. All right? So let's work on Gloria. Ready? One, two, three.
Gloria.
Oh, very good. Yeah, this is one of my favorite songs in Scripture. It's the angel's song. And it clarifies how God came. So we've been learning a lot through these songs of Christmas. Next week will be the last one with Simeon's song, and then we'll wrap it up on Christmas Eve, putting the whole thing together. I just talked about this last Sunday night to our teens in the OSM. It's one of my favorite passages because I can't imagine how much excitement there was in heaven that the angels broke through and came here. If you look at the scene differently, I know we kind of sanitize Scripture sometimes, and we don't really picture how big this was. Picture your favorite college football team, and it's a close game. And at the end of the game, your team is down by 6 points, and you score a touchdown with 3 seconds left on the clock. Do you know what happens in that arena, right? It's fandomania. I just coined that phrase, by the way. I wrote it down. Fandomania. It erupts. It erupts with exuberance, right? The excitement, the cheering, the screaming, right? I watched the Army-Navy game yesterday. I love the tradition at the end where they each get to sing their song, and I love that. But I think of the greatest illustration of fandomania has to be the angels breaking out of heaven to come down here and to sing glory to God in the highest. That to me is, now some of you are new and you haven't heard my story. I can't tell it again. I'm getting locked in. I've told my stories. And so if you've never heard me tell my story about Michael Jordan playing against the Detroit Pistons and me losing my mind and almost getting killed in Detroit, come ask me about it. I'll tell you that in private, right? I don't know if you're a fan. Right? Are you a fan? Anybody here a fan of something? Fan? Anybody a fan? When you're a fan, you just can't control yourself. When something exciting happens, you just lose your mind. In my house, you know, I think you guys can tell, I'm not a quiet person. I'm not a shy person. And I have just as much fun in front of my TV as I would if I were in the stadium. My dog is scared. Every time I watch football, my dog runs out with his ears down and his tail between his legs. He's like, what is this guy yelling about, right? I get excited. But nothing can compare to those angels. That's why I bought these angels with a trumpet sound around the baby, because fandomania happened. Let's take a look at the passage. It's Luke 2, 8 through 14. Luke 2, 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let's pray. You say this prayer, you don't have to say anything out loud, but in your heart, could you just say, "God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen." Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, we pray that you would be glorified, and that everyone hearing this message would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, there's so much to say about this short little story, and the short little song, by the way. There was a lot of preamble, but the actual song is just verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The angels burst forth. Can you see the scene? One angel came down, right, to tell the shepherds. So one guy had the job. I don't know what happened in heaven, but they burst through. I don't think they could contain themselves. This is bigger than a touchdown. This is the biggest thing that ever happened in the history. And I wish I was in heaven when we heard the play being called, when God gathered everybody and said, "Okay, I'm going to send one of you down to give the message to the shepherds." What? Why are we telling it to stinky shepherds? That's another thing. Don't worry about it. But here's what's going to happen. I need somebody to go down and make an announcement, because Jesus, you know, the Prince of Heaven here, he's been here since the beginning. His word spoke creation into existence. The one who's been here, the Prince of Heaven, he's going down to be born as a baby. Can you imagine the confusion and the wow of all the angels? And all of this, there's a "so that." Everybody say "so that." There's a "so that." And it's found in this verse, and that "so that" is peace. Everybody say peace. Sometimes you need a "so that," right? You know, we have to explain our Oakwood Cares thing. There's a "so that." We're asking you to give today to our Oakwood Cares so that we can keep caring for people's needs. I mean, just this week, we have been, at Christmas time is over undated. Lance and Tim May, they do an excellent job. They've been so busy vetting things and helping people, making sure we get funds to people that are desperately needed. And we try to tell you about those so that you get the "so that." We're asking you to give, not just to fill our coffers. We want to keep helping people. That's the "so that." Everybody say "so that." When God explained to the angels that Jesus was coming down to be born in a manger, the big "so that" is peace. It's what the angels said. The angels of glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. There is a "so that." The reason God sent his son is to create peace between heaven and earth. You see, we have a sin problem. Everyone born has a sin problem that breaks peace. No one has peace with God. God has to make peace. He did so by providing Jesus. And when the angels heard the story, I imagine after they finally were like putting their head around it, they just couldn't contain the moment that Jesus was actually born. And one angel's down there getting to do the talking, telling shepherds, and the other angel said, let's go. I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of rushing the field. Not supposed to do that. I don't know, but the angels, they rushed the field. Literally, they rushed the field that night to scream a song. And the lights were bright. It beats all the special effects that anybody could do here on earth for a concert. The heavens lit up, and the song was saying, "Glory to God in the highest." There's three things I want to point out, and then I'll give you the actual message. But there's three actual promises here. Good news. Everybody say good news. Great joy. All the people. Do it again with me. Good news. Great joy. All the people. That's one of the reasons I loved Gloria, the angel's song. What it tells us is fantastic. They make a promise that we are bringing good news. And this good news will cause great joy. For the elite? No. For all the people. I love that. I love the reason why the angels had to break free from heaven is their exuberance of these three promises. How could it be? How could there be good news with great joy for all people? Well, the angels answer that, or we get told the answer to that. The shepherds heard the answer, because today in the town of David, a Savior, everybody say Savior, Savior. Who is the Messiah, everybody say Messiah. The Lord, say Lord. Lord. See, there's three promises with three reasons. There's good news, great joy, all people. Why? Because there's a Savior, Messiah, Lord. Savior, Messiah, Lord. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. I hope you know him. Today, I want to walk through this. Maybe. Surprise. Literally, I just never know when it's going to work or not. Surprise. I know each week there's been two words, right? Today there's one. Surprise. This had to have been a surprise for the shepherds. Not heaven, but for the shepherds. They're just minding their own business. I call them smelly shepherds. It's not a glorious job. You're hanging out with sheep all day. I mean, the only thing I could think of is that smell when I take Jackson to get a bath and his nails trim. You ever gone into a pet spa? It's wet dog. It just smells awful. You're thinking, I'm bringing him here to smell better. How's this going to work, right? Well, we pick up Jackson, they'd cleaned him, but you don't want to hang out at the pet spa. It's wet dog. I think these shepherds smell like wet sheep. And it's just nasty. Surprise. A normal night, it's dark. There's no city lights, so it's dark out in the hills. I've been out there in these hills near Bethlehem. It's pretty desolate still to this day. Boom. Heaven shows up. Bright lights. Angels singing. This had to have been quite something. So much so that I wonder if when it ended, if the, I don't know if there's three, four, I don't know how many shepherds there are, but when it ended, it's dark again, and I imagine they kind of looked at each other and said, tell me you just saw that. Tell me I'm not just making this up, right? Tell me. And they all said, we all saw this. We all heard. I love what happens at the end of this passage in Scripture. They go to see if it's true. And they get there, and it's exactly as they had been told. The Bible says, and they arrived, and there was a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And they knew. This wasn't just bad pepperoni. This wasn't something I ate. This is true. It is true. The angels came and told us. I love that. John 1, verses 1 and 2. I want to make sure you understand this is very clear. In John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Scripture makes it clear that Jesus did not show up for the first time in a manger. He existed in heavens from the beginning of creation. We believe in the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, total equal, triunity. It's beautiful, but it has existed since all, before all time, before time was marked. Jesus existed. That's why the angels who knew Jesus well were excited that he was coming to make peace on earth with God and man. That's what we know to be true from Scripture. Birth announcements are a big business. I know this because I've got a new grandbaby, and I'm new to the world of, and you know, Moors, are you getting used to this? Are you? There's a lot of pictures that get taken. There's a lot of money spent out there on birth announcements. What I wrote down, some Pinterest, Shutterfly, Tiny Prints, Facebook. Here she is in her crib. Here she is in her nappy. Here she is in her bath. Here she is under the tree. Or here she is on the table as a turkey for Thanksgiving. Here's her footprints. Listen, there's a lot that happened. I held great restraint not putting all these pictures on the screen because I, you know, absolutely love little baby Ellie. And it's amazing. Every day we get new pictures. The announcements keep coming that she's the prettiest baby in the world. And we know that already. But we love it. But here's how you win the announcement war. Have angels come down from heaven and start singing. That's how you win the baby announcement war. And that's what happened here in Scripture. So surprise, three things. And I think you see them, but they're a surprise. Number one, it's the arrival. It's a virgin birth. Say what? I mean, right from the get-go, this is miraculous, not normal. Surprise! I mean, that's how God does things. The angel came and talked to Mary. We've already heard Mary's song. And the angels told her what was about to take place. And her question was, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. Because this child is going to be of God, not of man. If Jesus was born of Joseph, he would have received the sin nature. That's why he wasn't born of Joseph. He does not have a sin nature. He was born of God. Mary said, how can this be? Great question. Surprise! Everything about this song says surprise. So, it's a God thing. That's all I want to say. It's a God thing. And by the way, Mary did know. I love the song, Mary, Did You Know? I love it. But come on, she knew. Mary, did you know that your baby boy? Yeah, she knew. The angel came and told her. It's the dumbest song in the world, actually. But it's very clear that Mary did know. It's not like she was surprised when she gave birth. She was ready 9 months in advance. Remember, she knew she was carrying the king of the world, the prince of peace. She knew that. She went and saw her cousin. They commiserated on birth stuff, and she knew. Mary did know. But the arrival was not normal. Surprise. Jesus was not going to be born in the palace to a queen. Surprise. She's going to be born of a no-name virgin teenage girl. Surprise. Nothing about this is normal. And I love that God loves a good surprise. Do you like to surprise people? I do. Just imagine how evil I would be if I wasn't saved. Can you imagine an unregenerate Pastor Don? Because I love scaring people. I just love it. I think it's because I'm the biggest wimp in the world. That I love to have other people get scared. My poor wife, I go around the house just waiting for moments to scare her. I do. So much so that she has learned when I scare her, she punches. She just punches. Ask no questions. I jump out. Boo! Ah! Psh! That's how she does it. She just punches first. Surprise! I love surprises. I think God loves surprises. And this is the world's greatest surprise. Surprise! Jesus is coming. Woohoo! In Bethlehem. What? Why there? Not only that, he's going to be born in a manger. The arrival. Surprise. After the arrival, we have the arena. It's a manger. The arrival. To a virgin. The arena. I mean, all the fanfare that could have been made in the big cities in Rome. You know, the center of the world, right? When I was in Jerusalem, there was a professor who made it very clear that when Jesus came, that the main, Rome ruled the world at that time. But everything in the world traveled, and it had to travel up through Jerusalem and that whole area. Rome up here, and then all the way down into Africa. The whole world traveled, and it narrows out right there, and everything goes through near Bethlehem, Jerusalem, that whole area. Surprise, the arrival. There's no room. That makes no sense. The creator of all things, there's no room for him in his creation. Surprise. The arena is a manger. It's, I mean, there's no way to soft coat this. It's God in a shack or a cave on a feeding trough. That's what the manger is. We might make it pretty. I like the manger we have out in the lobby and the one outside at the scene that we have by the road. It's a wooden, it's a feeding trough. It's where you put hay so it wouldn't be on the ground and get wet. And the animals would come and eat out of this. And that's where they laid Jesus, because there was no room. The arrival, surprise. The arena, surprise. That's how God brought us Jesus. And then the announcement. It's in a field. It's in a field, not in town, not where everybody could hear this news. A few shepherds were the first here. And I asked our teens this last Sunday. How long do you think it would have taken for the simple people out in the fields to get the message? I think it would have taken forever for them to hear about this. If Jesus had been born in Jerusalem, if he'd been born in a palace to a queen, the common folk would hear about it last. Not with God. Surprise! The one that's ruling the world right now, he has no clue. Remember the wise men come from the east, and they show up, and they're like, hey, we've heard that there's a new king born. Say, what? Why don't you find out exactly where this king is born? Because I'd like to worship him. Baloney. Right? He doesn't want to worship him. He wants to kill him. Who's taking over my kingdom? Surprise. And they had to hightail it and find that Jesus wasn't born in the big city. Surprise. The announcement was given to in a field. Glory to God and on earth, peace. Everybody say peace. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We shouldn't be surprised. As surprising as it is, it's perfect. See, Jesus didn't come to reign in a palace. He came to serve. We see people that want notoriety in the limelight, and yet Jesus came and he got on his knees and he washed people's feet. He came different. Surprise. We are in a kingdom upside down. Amen? We're kingdom people. We live in a kingdom upside down. And it begins, surprise, by the arrival of virgin birth. The arena, it's a manger. And the announcement, a field to shepherds. Surprise. In those days, Augustus was ruling, and I believe his dad, who he had taken over now, his dad had passed. Caesar Augustus declared that his dad was God, making him the Son of God. He declared a Pax Romana. A Pax Romana was, it simply means an empire at peace, guaranteeing safety. I mean, he ruled the world at the time. But somebody at that time had this to say. Epictetus, I don't know how to say his name. Epictetus. In history, we find that a person who lived at that time, living under Pax Romana, where Caesar declared and guaranteed safety and peace for all, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns for more than even outward peace. Epictetus, I can't even say that name. Epictetus got it right. Caesar can promise peace by being a strong man. He can keep wars from happening and guarantee relative safety, but he can't truly being peace? Is it? It's so stark in contrast that the ruler of the world who declared himself to be the Son of God and the real king of the world's born in a manger by a young teenage girl. The shepherds heard about it first. Everything unlike what Caesar was proclaiming. Caesar could not transform his subjects' hearts or change any of their eternal futures. The peace of God that invades a life is based on the discovery of peace with God. Let me say it again. The peace of God that invades a life is based on the discovery of peace with God. What God did was by sending his Son, and the angels came and announced it, so that peace, everybody say peace. Peace is what was truly brought. The angels declared it. Caesar Augustus, he declared it, but it wasn't true. He couldn't really bring peace to the heart and soul of mankind. He can bring an external peace for a while, but even then they were overthrown. Do you have peace with God? That's the big question today. All of this happened so that you and I can have real peace, eternal peace. I want to go back and talk about that word Lord. Remember I told you there's three promises? Good news, great joy, all people. Because three reasons: Savior, Messiah, Lord. Lord is the Greek-speaking Jews' translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. That's the name of God. The official name of God is Yahweh. That's what he told his people. Translated as Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When Scripture, whenever you see that, I've taught you this before, when you see the word Lord, it's all capitalized. That's the Greek equivalent of Yahweh, the name of God. God gave us peace. The question I have to ask is, do you have that peace? He offers it. Again, everything has been done to achieve peace this way, not this way. I'm sorry, I'm a pessimist when it comes to peace on earth. I just don't think it's going to happen. Honestly, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's just getting worse. So worse that I watched Red One last night. It's so bad. The whole movie is based on the fact that we're bad. The whole movie is based on the fact that everybody's awful and mean, right? And it's just going to get worse. God bless us all. Let's go and try to make peace. We ought to do that, right? Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. We ought to try. Me and Lisa were at Sam's Club this week. You waited forever in your line. You were at customer service. I was at optical. You thought we lived there. I mean, I was there for 20 minutes before you showed up, and I'm just sitting there. I'm just here to pick up contacts for my son. I mean, they've been ordered. They're here. I paid for them. Just hand them to me. No, you're fifth in line. I had to wait for all the people to have their eye exams fitted for glasses. Have you ever seen it? When an old woman's trying on glasses, she tries on every pair, and then she says, I need to see them again. And I'm sitting there going, I just want my contacts. And I realized I got an opportunity. Right? Every decision we make is an opportunity. And so I'm like, I could lose my stuff right now, or I could just wait my turn. And so I did. I hunkered in. I just stood there forever. I might still be there. I don't know. It's awful. And then I saw Lisa. We're like, hi. I got done, and I said goodbye to you. And I'm like, I'm just trying. I'm trying, Lisa. I'm trying. She goes, keep smiling. Okay. Ooh. Peace on earth this way? Peace on earth this way? That is actually achievable. Peace with God? You can have that. It's the best gift you could ever have. It's the greatest gift of all time. He bought it for us. The greatest Christmas gift is that God sent his son Jesus so that we can have eternal peace. How does it work? Surprise! A baby's going to be born in a manger. No fanfare. No room. In a feed trough. And God's going to tell shepherds so they can spread the news. So that this baby, who's born without any sin problem, didn't get it from his daddy, was tempted in every way 30 years before he started his ministry. 30 years and no sin. Tempted in every way, like you and I. He had a leg up because he didn't have a sin problem to start with, and he chose not to sin. So the perfect one, the righteous one who knew no sin, went to a cross. And you're like, I know, that's Easter. Well, let me give you a foreshadowing of Easter. This baby died on a cross for your sin and my sin, for the sins of the whole world. It's been done. The blood that he shed, it worked. It appeased God's wrath. He took the cup of God's wrath completely on himself so that you and I wouldn't have to do that and we can have peace with God. It's a beautiful thing. Christmas is great, but if you don't have the so that, I'd say, so what? If you don't got the so that this morning, so what? It's just a cute story, right? Last year, we lost baby Jesus in our house. He wasn't in the manger anymore. We've got a creche, Fontanini pieces, fancy. We keep adding to it. I bought a donkey this year. I'm excited about Mary's donkey. Added it to the set. But last year, baby Jesus went missing. And Julie's like, where's baby Jesus? We don't have little kids running around the house. I mean, Josh is 21 now. I mean, Josh, are you stealing baby Jesus? We know you steal the puzzle piece. We know he does that. Every year, he steals a puzzle piece, puts it in his pocket. Dirty dog. You get to the end. Josh! All right, I got it, you know. Wait, Josh, you stealing baby Jesus? I didn't touch baby Jesus. Turns out my mother-in-law, she hates baby Jesus sitting in the manger. She doesn't like it. So every time she sees a manger, she takes baby Jesus and puts it in Mary's arms. We looked at the scene a little better, and here's Mary like this, and baby Jesus hanging from her arm. I'm like, Mom, why are you doing that? She goes, are you telling me that mom didn't grab that baby and hold her in her arms? I'm like, you know what? Yeah, he belongs there, doesn't he? I love that. So that. If you don't have the so that, it's a so what? Too many people think it is a cute story with a nice, you know, ending. How cute. How quaint. Let me tell you, folks, it ain't quaint. And it ain't cute. The God of heaven sent his son. He didn't send him to be king of the world and to show his power. No, he sent him in humility. Surprise! That's what Gloria is all about, the angels coming down. The pandemonia that couldn't be contained in heaven, they had to burst down here to proclaim good news, great joy, all people. Why? How is it possible? Savior, Messiah, Lord, Yahweh is here. This is good news. We'll wrap it up with this. Here's some good news that will bring great joy for all the people. Jesus is Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Amen? There was no room anywhere else, no place. The maker of the universe, no room. Will you say no room? Do you have no room today? Or have you made room? Has there been a moment in your life where you got the so that and you received peace by accepting the fact that Jesus is Savior, Messiah, and Lord? Do you have him as your Lord? We're not talking about nice guy. We're talking about Lord. The God of the universe, is he God in your heart, in your life? Have you made room for him there? I'm going to have the team come and close us with that beautiful song, Noel. Let's pray. Father God, I pray today that you would take this word from your scripture, the angels singing exuberant joy, and I pray that you would touch hearts and lives here. Father, it's a busy time of the year, and we can get lost in all the preparations, in the cuteness, the quaintness. But God, I pray that we would see the big picture, the real story. Maybe it would surprise us today, like it surprised the shepherds, that this story is real history and that you came so that we could have peace with you. You bought it with the blood of Jesus. God, we receive it and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.